To Hacker Public Radio Community News for the month of April. We're recording this a little bit earlier in order to allow me to go on some vacation, so thanks very much for that. I understand, though, that an email I sent to the mail list didn't go out last week and people only found out about it today. So apologies all around for the miscommunication. Today, joining me on the line is 5150. Say hello, 50.
Hello, 50.
And joining me is also Nido. Say hello, Nido.
Hello.
Hello, Nido. Okay, as is traditional here on Hacker Public Radio Community News, we do one show a month where we will run down the topics for this discussion, give you a bit of background as to what's going on in the community that you may have missed if you're not on the list. And if you're not on the list, well, you should be. And some ideas of some of the issues that have been seen and some of the work that's going on in the background. But as is traditional, we'd like to welcome some new hosts to the network. And this month we were joined by Russ Wiener, who many of you will know, Jezra, who is no stranger to the network either, and Helvitten, who was new host for this month. So three new hosts. Congratulations, everybody, on becoming official podcasters. And we hope to hear more from them in upcoming shows. So I think last month, we also, first of all, we tend to go through the shows that have been played in the last month. And the last show that we discussed last month, and I don't think people got a chance to listen to it, was Peer Programming by another first-time host, Christopher M. Hobbs. And as I said last month, this was a very interesting show, pair programming together, programming with somebody else. Nido, I understand that you're a programmer. Have you ever done pair programming with anyone?
Yes, we used this at the university class in which we basically simulated creating a big project. We created a GUI for some other kind of projects that at the university anyway. We committed to doing peer programming in which you just sit, one person is at computer actively typing in the code, and the other person is sitting beside it and looking at the bigger picture and trying to help out when it is needed. And it works. It has its advantages. It has its disadvantages as well. And you can listen to the episode again if you've missed it. How it actually works.
Yeah, it's kind of opened my eyes. One thing that made me consider though that. From an employer's point of view, you're now hiring two people to do the same code. So, but then again, I suppose if everybody's working on the same project, you kind of have to see past that.
There's the security bit, there's only one person who can edit that code. If there's two people who can edit that code, then there's less problems with project later on. And you have two people who are working on one piece of code, and they work about a velocity of, I believe, 1.5 people together. So you basically miss half a person in the speed of which you code. But on the other side, you have two people who are looking at the same code at the same moment, who are also picking out the bugs. So the end product is of higher quality. And if you have to work with it for a long time, that will eventually shorten your development time.
Yeah, I get that. I get that. It was cool. Very, very good introduction. So if you're interested, please have a listen. Yeah, go ahead, 50.
Well, I can certainly see why that would work, because I remember back in school when we had a big project. Of course, everybody would take their individual part. But when it wouldn't work, you would sit there and stare at your code for half an hour, and then finally you turn to somebody else and say, "I can, you know, I can't find this where it's not doing what I think it's supposed to be doing," and then they would look at it for 2 or 3 minutes and usually find it.
Yeah, actually, and I've been thinking as well, when I'm doing coding, I quite often will do the boring parts, and then I'll get somebody to review what I've done in more tricky stuff. So, okay, cool. The following day was an April released on the 1st of April, and it was digital data transfer, and we looked at layer 1 OSI model, or the physical layer in this case. And yeah, it's just one of these shows that I've been wanting to do for a little while. So the following day was Talk Geek to Me News by Deep Geek and Pokey. And I just want to say, before I tend to skip over the Talk Geek to Me News shows later on in the month, but I do want to say that these guys have really, the new contributors, narrators, I guess we could call them, GGTM News Team, as they're now designated, are really, really doing a great job. And I think it's adding a lot of variety, for me at least, listening to the shows, going from Pokey to Becky to Dan and then back to Deep Geek. It gives a really nice variety, and each of them are bringing their own insights into the shows. And it really feels professional to me, the way they're narrating the shows. It's obviously a script by Deep Geek, but you wouldn't really know that unless you listened to what they said, that it was a script by Deep Geek. So hats off to all those guys, and long may they continue doing it.
Well, I have noticed Pokey throwing in a little inflection editorializing when he reads his part.
Yeah, again, just proving that he's getting involved with the show, and as well, the emphasis is there in the notes as well, to some extent. But as I say, the views of TGTV News is not necessarily the views of the Talking to Me News team, and I think as well, hats off to these guys who may be of a different political persuasion than Deep Geek, for may or may not, who knows, but for being able to put that to one side for a while and then do this show. So as I skip over their shows in this review, just keep that in mind. Then we had Russ Winner with the care and feeding of flintlock muzzle-loading rifles. This was an epic show. What did you guys think?
Oh, I learned a lot. I mean, I've been interested for some time in getting a cap and ball weapon. It just I found that it's too much trouble, really. You can't use it as a weapon you have around. You've got to unload it and keep it unloaded, or the powder will corrode the thing. So that's why I've never done it. But I didn't know the difference between the cap and ball and the flintlock, and why the older tech would ever be an advantage. So that very interesting to me.
Can you explain to me what a patch was? He referred to making his own patches.
That's just like a little square piece of cotton.
For the purpose of?
Well, you load the powder first, as I understand it, of course, and then you push a patch down with the rod, and then you would push the ball or a shaped bullet down after that.
Okay, that makes sense to me. But yes.
Because you have to have something to pack the powder down in.
Okay, so that's what they're doing when they do the thump, thump, thump thing in the movies.
Right. And, you know, if you're cleaning a conventional weapon, usually in your cleaning kit, you'll have a stack of similar patches to run through and clean the weapon. I think that's where the term came. The term patch that we use in the cleaning kits came from the original muzzle loading time.
Yeah. No, I've used a patch from cleaning rifles myself, but I was wondering why you would use something for cleaning, why he would make his own. But that now what you're saying makes kind of a bit of sense. So cool, pretty awesome stuff. I hope to hear more from Russ, who has his own podcast, The Techie Geek, which is always an excellent show to listen to. So hope to hear more on muzzle on rifles and stuff. And you never know, 5150 and I might do a whole topic on the subject of firearms sometime in the future.
Yeah, I'd look forward to doing that.
Then the following day, we had a review of Synarch by 5150 himself, and it was, I don't know how relevant it was now, 50. Was it too late, too long in the queue, or have things moved on?
No, I finally figured out what my problem was. It was the desktop manager that they had installed. It's LightDM, plus they had, for some inexplicable reason, put on the Unity greeter on top of it. And I actually found the problem in a post to intended for Ubuntu users. If you have an SSD, it goes so fast that it's ready to move on to the next step before the software can catch up with it.
Where did I hear you explain that? Because I heard your follow-up to that episode somewhere.
I'm sure I've been meaning to put it on my next episode that I record. But I've mentioned it, I think, at least once. It's come up on KPO and probably on DevRandom as well. So I was letting people know if they ran into it. What I had to do is I finally installed GDM. There was a setup in the LightDM or configuration file for Ubuntu where you could put a wait statement someplace in a loop. But I found the analogous configuration file for Arch, and it probably would have worked, but it was constructed differently. It just had a bunch of settings. There wasn't any sort of programming statements in there. In other words, there weren't any conditional statements or anything. So rather than experiment with that, I just installed GDM.
Okay, that was it was a good, nice review actually. Might give it a try, except. I'm not a big fan of. I'm actually quite happy with Razer QT at the minute. So.
Well, see, they've recently, in the last week or so, Synarch has dropped Cinnamon as their desktop. They're going to go to something else. Apparently, I guess that Cinnamon is developed by the Mint people, and they're not keeping up with, I guess, the current GTK libraries. So the Synarch people decided they just couldn't wait for them.
Interesting, Captain. Okay, and episode 1221 was Deep Geek. Again, we talked to me news, and this time it was Dan Washko. And there's been a lot of stuff going on with the queues this month, so shows have got moved around quite a bit. So instead of Friday, the shows have been coming out on Monday, but we'll talk more about that later. Dan came back to us with some mathematical commands. The commands he was talking about was factor, prime, sequence, and arithmetic.
And those are, keep them coming, Dan. These, I'm always learning new things that I never thought I had a reason to know from his Linux in the Shell episodes. And it's one of those things that I don't know why I would need to know those, but when I do, I'll know about them and know how to use them.
Exactly. I use the sequence one every day for loops in Bash. So I will do something like for sequence in for I in dollar open bracket sequence 1 space 9 close bracket and semicolon do space echo dollar I semicolon done, and that will give you a sequence. Dollar I then will be the sequence number of 0 to 9, for instance. So if I wanted to count HPR episodes from, I don't know, last month, so starting at, I don't know, 12, 1222 up to 9999, for instance, I could do for sequence in dollar blah, 1222 9999, and then I could make a series of wget commands using the dollar. So I use that all the time. So the following day was Jezra with a short and snappy show about how he got into Linux. And I think this is, it's really nice to hear these shows coming from people. And there are a few people who've skipped them who I would like them to go back and do the shows, because it's interesting to hear how people got, to here.
Yeah, I want to take a different take on it, and it's one of these things I've been promising. I mean, I probably will never get to. My first experience with Linux was a boxed copy of Mandrake, and I could get it installed, but one of the problems I had, you had to decide, this dial-up days, and I had, of course, for my local network, I had a NIC in it, and I also had a modem, and it would set up one or the other, but not both, in the install. And of course, I didn't, without the bandwidth, I beyond getting Linux installed, I didn't know what to do with it because there was, I really didn't have time to browse resources online. But my take on how I got into Linux is I've got an old Pentium 5 sitting around that
Hey,
someone gave me as.
you're wasting the show here.
Well, I'm just saying
Was one.
that's probably going to be my take is stick Mandrake on an old computer and see if I have any better luck understanding it this time now that I kind of know what I'm doing.
Oh, that would be cool. Oh, definitely. You must definitely do that. Which brings up another topic that we're going to be talking about in the show notes. I'm thinking of maintaining a promised shows list, because every time I go on IRC or people email me and so, oh, I'm thinking of doing this show, and then quite often you don't hear back from it. I know it's on people's to-do list, and on that list, high on that list, will be three or four shows that I emailed Enigma, who was the HPR admin, or the HPR lead, I guess, for longer than I have been, and I promised him a few shows, and they never materialized either. So be warned, that may be coming.
Which is one, that is one reason why I always put in conditions to my promises.
Yeah, people usually do, but it might be the motivation to get people to do it. And Ken Fallon's How to Point a Satellite Dish is still in the queue, and it's there for now, but coming on 7 years. So anyway, we also had 5150 the next day, Podio Book report on Jake's Bible, DedMech, and yes, adding another topic to the procrastinators queue, or people who promise me shows, is our very good friend Pokey, who needs to revive the book club.
Yeah, he was just talking about it here a couple weeks ago I think it was Dev Random that he was one of those things he kept meaning to do. We're all gonna have to reread the book again.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, 50, I really like the show. By the way, whilst you were down the well, I realized that was one of those cowboy windmill wells. Is that correct?
Well, originally the windmill's all falling down on top of it, sort of. But that's how back before there's electricity, it ran on. It was a windmill. See, my dad, or not my dad, my grandfather was a air motor dealer in the 40s.
Okay. And what's that?
Well, that's the brand of windmills. There are two or three American brands of wind. I mean, the actual, well, the whole thing, top to bottom, but mainly the gearbox and the impeller part at the top.
I, honest to God, I never have seen one of those things and never even knew what they were in the movies. It was only later when I was browsing through the World Book to do with the wells and pumps and stuff that I saw how those various different types of wells work. So, yes, if you're interested, you could do a show about the history of what wells and pumps and that whole thing would, at least I would be interested in. So I don't know about anybody else. If you're ever stuck for a show like.
Okay, I'll have to keep that in mind. And like I said, or no, I didn't say it. I meant to say if I realized, folks, that that was an extremely different show for me, and I was just in a different kind of mood when I did it. I hope maybe I've got that out of my system.
I really enjoyed it because I was going, yeah, now something different, and now for something completely different, which is exactly what HBR is all about, I guess.
And I do want to also want to take this opportunity to say, now, folks listening to this, and they probably already realized, I had three shows this month that Ken released under the old rules because I'd submitted them before the rules change. And I did write Ken and said, far be it for me to be less gracious than a hookah, and offered to just go by the new rule system and have them come out whenever. And Ken informed me, by golly, my shows would be coming out.
I did, and there's a reason for that. When Ahuka submitted his shills, he did it in the byline. Well, okay, back then we needed and we'll be discussing this later on in the show, but there's a very much a feast and famine with HPR. We get a bunch of shows, and then it takes a while for them to come out. Then we're short of shows, and we get a bunch of shows, and it takes a while to come out. Now, we're going to be talking about that later, but what I want, when I requested your shows, we were short of them, and the expectation at the time that you were under and everybody else was that they would be coming out quite soon because we were short of shows. Then what happened was lots of people volunteered shows, and we were hunky-dory again. But so I was concerned that there might be stuff in your shows that would be of time critical in nature, and I knew when Ahuka submitted his shows, he had already sent an email saying that he was intending to take the summer off and that the shows were just going to be backlogged there and release them during the summer when things are quiet. So that is why we did that. And I also want you to, put in more shows.
Oh, I think I finally, I've got my show notes together for one. So as soon as we finish here, I'll be recording one this afternoon. Oh, before we get off the topic of Jake Bible's book, Dead Mech, this was just right the week before it came out, Nightwise, posted on his blog, and he may have actually talked about it on a show about Jake Bible. He was a fan, and I didn't realize, I thought Jake Bible hadn't written any more books because no more have shown up on audiobooks.com, but that's the only one, the first one that is the only one that's a free audiobook. So if there's any Jake Bible fans out there, I meant to, before I knew the show was coming out, and I meant to send Ken an amendment to the show notes, and I didn't get it done because I procrastinate before the show was released. So I did add those links in comments on the comments section for that show. So there's a link to Nightwise's article, and there's also a link to Jake Bible's site where you can buy the two sequels.
Cool, very good. And if anybody has
in print form.
Oh yeah. And if anybody has updates to show notes, feel free to send them in and we can add them in. We can update them quite easy. It's not a problem. Oh, by the way, is that book very scary?
In a way, but it's more like there's some humor in it and camaraderie, between sort of typical buddy, thing. I'm not explaining it right, but the camaraderie between soldiers and, them kidding each other and stuff. But if you're asking if it's appropriate for younger children, there are definitely adult themes in that book that should not,
No, I'm not asking that because I'm a firm believer in watching whatever it is my kids watch before they watch it, because I'm the best determinator for what the kids are able to handle at any particular time. No, the reason I'm asking is that I listen to audiobooks on my way home from work, and I have to walk past and through a graveyard, so I don't want to be scared shitless.
I'd say it's thrilling in a lot of places. I'm not sure I would say that it's terribly scary.
But I'm a wimp, 5150. Anyway, moving on, my wimphood aside for a moment, we had second part of Tracy Holt's Modern Survivalism Part 2, and this one was to do with fish and a loopback system where you do aquaponics, and then you have the aquaponics water is nurtured by the waste byproducts of fish, and then you can eat the fish, and that's a whole production system. I actually saw a video on one of my favorite sites, thebestofyoutube.com, some time ago about a chap who was big into aquaponics in a sort of parking lot in the States that was otherwise a derelict zone for agriculture, and was growing quite a lot of stuff, and had Arduinos connected to Linux machines that he was able to manage them via Android and all the rest of that good stuff. So I found this one very interesting as well.
Oh yeah, this is one that really got me thinking. And really last month I'd seen something on a smaller scale be a good kids project Much smaller scale, but somebody's making a 3D printed like fishbowl for just normal tropical fish, not eating fish, but growing mushrooms on top of it in one of these symbiotic systems. And of course, I'm certain you wouldn't have to buy their 3D printed fishbowl, but I sent that along to the superintendent of the school that I do service for because he has fish and I thought he would really be interested in it. But Tracy's opened up a whole new thing on this scale, and it's got me thinking. I mean, I don't know if I want fish 3 times a week, but I at listening to this, I was really thinking, well, could I do that? With I'm in a
Same here, same here.
slightly colder climate than he is, but I was thinking, see, we've got an enclosed porch built onto the house, and originally. It's filled with concrete now. Originally, there was like a garden area inside that. In other words, there was, you had the floor and there were a couple open dirt sections. And I was regretting that those had been concreted in because I was thinking, well, that'd be a great place to sink the fish tanks into.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the thing about and you all know the thing about aquaponics here, it's very big in the illegal marijuana growing trade over here. So I imagine if you start buying aquaponic supplies, you would a flag or two would come up at the police station.
It might. He's in the last few days. He's posted a few pictures on G Plus on how he's starting to build his own out of the plastic barrels and such.
Can you send us some photos as well that we can add to the show notes?
Okay, I can do that.
Okay, then we had Deep Geek and Pokey with Talk Geek to News, and we had a bumped up interview with Froggy from founder of Nauticon, which was recorded at BAcon in Columbus last year, and it was Mordassi requested that we went out to the mailing list, and there was, I think, unanimous support for bumping the show up. Yeah, good show, great, pity I couldn't be there. Pity. So there is, with the new queuing system, longest release show date, and sometimes it's Dave Morris was saying, who's working on the queuing system, has been saying to me that it is difficult sometimes to know when a show has been released or not, or why a show has been released. So what I've started doing for now, at least until I find out if this is something interesting, is I put a HTML comment into some of the episodes to say what the reason was. If it's not the normal everyday regular, first come first, sorry, not first come first served, longest release date shows. So in this case, if you go into the view source of this page, you'll see it was released under Rule 1, time critical, express permission for to prioritize this show was sought and given by members of the mail list and those ahead in the queue. So that's just something if you're ever, excuse me, if you're ever interested, what's been going on, why a show has jumped up, then you can just view source and see. And then we had 5150's show, utilizing maximum space on ButterFS, and this one was released under the schedule with permission from the mailing list, as these shows were submitted under the first in, first out rules. So, ButterFS, are you still using it?
Yeah, I'm still using it on both the machine I was talking about and my the little Arch laptop that I take with me to on IT works.
Okay. Again, 50, and I've said this before and I'll say it again. A lot of your episodes are very much, I know this is going to be something that I'll need to do. But I was wondering actually why you didn't just make another partition and then or sync everything over.
Well, that's another way to do it. At least on the root partition, I was afraid there might be files that didn't make the trip if I just used rsync. I did look
Yeah.
into that a little bit, hidden files, things like that. It's well, I think that came up on All Cash Planet. Somebody was at the about the same time, and somebody said, well, you could, but there you may lose a few critical files. And I've at least had that doing the same similar something similar with Windows trying to clone a drive. If you just create partition and try to copy everything over, usually you don't wind up with a bootable system on the other end.
Yeah, true. Okay, good point. Okay, then we have Helvitten with Chromebook Acer C7 review, and I know he was worried about his accent, but to be honest, I thought it was absolutely awesome, completely understandable, perfectly clear, everything made sense to me, and I was quite interested in getting an Acer C7 as well, and I was very happy to hear a review about it, and some of the settings that he has in there about set keyboard map, that is quite handy, and also about XR and DR. I use that all the time in work.
Yeah, as I listened to this, I was thinking, well, he's encroaching on my brand a little bit instead of, you know, taking the big topic and, you know, top down and talking all about. He's kind of like me. Well, these are the things that I twiddled with on my box this week, and I'm going to talk about that.
Yes, there's plenty of room for that. So, excellent show. Well done. Keep up the good work. Keep them coming. Then we had a Neo Dragon who requested the show to go forward in the queue. The only person who was ahead of him in the queue anyway was Deep Geek, and they had no problem about letting him through. Stephanie Cute, an Android developer whose Google Play account was wrongfully pulled. So listen to the show to hear more about that. And I mentioned to him as well that Carnominal lost his source of income. Something similar happened when they were they complained that something untoward was happening with AdWords, and there was no redress that there would be otherwise.
Well, that's the trouble when you're dealing with this big sort of automatically running organization. There are no contact points to talk to, because that's how they run the company so efficiently. It's like dealing with retailers sometimes. A lot of your online retailers, there just isn't anybody really to complain to if you have a problem or if you're not satisfied with the product. But yeah, and if anybody wants to hear more about this, we covered it on last week's KPO, not the one that's posted right now, but the one that should come after that.
Okay, good to know. But I think they will eventually run into issues here, because at least in the EU, there are levels of service that are guaranteed under the law. So you could chase it up that way, but eventually somebody will get annoyed enough to pursue this, and then they will have to change their policies for at least Europe. Okay, then we had Boba Bex.
Well, they did, I guess, get it straightened out, because the lady had her account pulled. She made contact with somebody she knew who worked inside of Google, and then they were able to get it fixed for her.
Yeah, but that's inherently undemocratic. In the world where we now have megacorps, Apple, Microsoft, Google, whoever. Facebook, Amazon, the haves are those who have somebody on the inside, and then the have-nots are the ones who are just on the outside periphery, and at least over here, things don't work that way.
I agree with you there, because as we point, one of the things that came up in discussion, these decisions are probably made by an algorithm with no human involvement that generates an email and says, we've cut your account off, and then there's no... You're right. Unless you happen to know somebody, you have no recourse.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Valid point. But the algorithms should be written better. Anyway, moving on. Yes. Before we go down the rat hole there again. And then we had Bobo Bex with Talkie to Me News for the 16th of the month. And then Extended Attributes by Linux in the Shell, which I thought was going to be something completely different. And Dan has dusted off yet another thing that I think, yes, I should have known this really. Also, LS attributes and CH attributes, essentially.
They are interesting to taunt colleagues with when you use them on certain files in their home directory when they left their screen on.
Yes, and I know enough about them to know that that is something that can possibly happen. but I would definitely need to Google it beforehand. And now I know somewhere to go. Did Dan do a Linux in the Shell show about that? In fact, that's more and more often. I'm doing that now with commands where I think, I heard about that somewhere. Where could it be? It has to be Linux in the Shell. And then, yeah, sure enough, there's the post, there's the video, there's a complete explanation.
Right, and this seems to be like most of these are system set attributes most of the time, and I think you would really not only need to understand what the attributes do, but what the consequences of changing
exactly,
those attributes would be before you dive in there.
Very much, yes. The following day we had Playing in Ingress by Epicanus, and this has been an eye-opener of talk about explaining every minute detail of the game. I'm actually not sure after listening to this episode if this is something I actually want to do or not, because I was vaguely interested in playing this thing, but I'm not particularly sure I want to know.
Well, I think if I lived in an area that I'm... Of course, they may be all around me, but I doubt if there's a portal within... 70 miles of me to go play with. But yeah, I still, as a gamer, I still enjoy this sort of thing, and especially how this breaks out in, you know, into the real world, an actual LARPing game. I think this is just the tip of the iceberg on what we're going to see in gaming thinking outside of the box. And I did want to say, you know, it doesn't matter the subject. Epicanus just has a genius for humor. He could read the phone book and it would be incredible.
No, he should stick to actually giving some useful information, as he does very much. Brilliant.
We've heard this claim so much. I'm actually beginning to want to hear him read the phone book.
Okay, fine. I'll put it on. I'll put it on because I won't have listened to it. But yeah, it's going on. If he does it, it's going on. Might be another one for the first of April series that we have here in HBR. By the way, if people would like to contribute to that particular series, then give me enough notice in advance. I had hoped something else would happen, but it didn't. So that is open to anyone, a long tradition. So keep your ideas flowing. Then we had another episode about gaming, which was Mike, friend from over in the UK, and met him at Oddcamp, and it's fightcodegame.com, a place where you could learn to write code, write a robot, and in JavaScript and stuff. So pretty impressive.
Right, and I kind of got the impression from this, I was when he started, I was expecting a little more detail. It was more an episode, this thing exists, and this is how to go in and get involved, but sounds to me like this is not the sort of thing you want to do if you're just learning Java because you're going to get owned.
Yeah, but as he says, you know, the robots don't need to make them public, so you can continue developing them, I guess. And then the last show of the month, well, the last show of before the roundup, was episode 1235, Talk Cyberpunk to Me, Sigflup, Wearable Computers, and photos of what she's on about in the show notes. If you see photos of the entire units, they're like a black visor that goes over your face and you cannot see out of it. And what she's done is cut one off so she looks like essentially a Borg, for want of a better word. I hope she doesn't hate me for any more than she normally does, but I hope she doesn't hate me for saying that. But there's pictures in the show notes of the whole setup, and it's awesome. And by the way, during the episode, not only did like she hack this hardware and have it configured in for a Raspberry Pi and get it working in the first place, then she just kind of lets it, yeah, and by the way, I wrote a terminal emulator in assembly to display on this thing. Oh my god, what the fuck? You did what?
Yeah, I sort of have the feeling Sigflup is smarter than all the rest of us put together.
Well, definitely me, that's for sure.
But I really enjoyed this because I toyed with the idea. I mean, well, I always love to see articles on wearable computers, and I think that visor she used is one I haven't seen in quite a while, but I had seen it on Woot.com. for what seemed like a fairly reasonable price, but it was always the Mac version with proprietary connectors rather than the general USB or like I said RCA jack version. So I learned a couple things from this article. First, that it's pretty easy to adapt the Mac version to for you somewhere else. And secondly, well, with the limited resolution, you're going to have to be, like you said, you're going to be satisfied with a terminal rather than a full graphical system.
Yeah, true enough. But pretty awesome nonetheless, it has to be said. And that brings us to the end of the shows that we're going to review this week. So moving to the show notes, there's an amendment that I'd like to propose for the scheduling rules, and it's to do with the normal priority ones, first of all. And I'd like to add the following text. Where possible, we will not release shows from the same host in any one week. So that text, where possible, we will not release shows from the same host in any one week. And that is what we used to do previously, before the schedule rules change in January. And it just kind of keeps the variety a little bit long. If you have comments on any of these, on that, you can bring it up on the mailing list, please. And I would also like to modify the syndicated show one to amend at the bottom. These shows can be released either under your own name or under the generic host called Various Creative Commons Works, which has got a host ID of 158. So the entire thing reads, we will continue to promote new podcasts and other Creative Commons material, but due to lack of slots, we are only releasing material created exclusively for HPR. If there is a piece of Creative Commons content that you would like to promote, then feel free to record a regular show where you introduce the content and explain why it is important, and providing links to where we can get more information and the proposed edition. These shows can be released either under your own name or under the generic host called Various Creative Commons Works. And the idea behind that one is, quite often, I don't know if it happens to you 50 and 50, but it happens to me quite a lot where, people will say, oh, really want to put up a show about this, or, a TED talk about that or something. So you end up going under my name or something else. So this is an option to allow hosts to gather this sort of stuff. It won't be coming out that frequently. It'll still be going, everybody will get a shot at so for every cycle of hosts that goes through, there's the possibility that one of these will be slotted out if it exists. So if you want to discuss that, feel free to join the mailing list, which you should do anyway.
Clarification, if someone wants to assign a show that they've put into the queue under the Various Creative Commons Works, does that count against them in the scheduling?
No, that's the point. You can either say you have a show that you want to submit and it's important. You can either you well, you want you have a show that you want to submit, but it's a TED talk or something. You have the choice of submitting it under your own name, in which case it will get credited against your shows. So then once that plays, you go back to the end of the line and you wait until everybody who has posted a show, everybody has posted a show longer than you. So you go back to the end of the line. But if you put it into this queue, that queue might be before you or after you, but it still won't count against it won't be credited to you. It won't be credited against your count. But what it can be done is that we will put it in as a you are a contributor to that, so you will get kudos. Does that make sense?
Perfectly.
Some of the work that's been going on, mostly by Dave Morris, an amazing person. So Dave has been doing an awful lot for us, not least of which has been the Gitorious transfer tags tool, which allows if somebody uploads FLAC, which most people do, and if they put in the show notes in them, which most people do, it will take the IG3 tags from the FLAC file and it'll pop them into the MP3 Aug Speaks file. And that in itself has immensely made the job of transcoding shows a lot easier, especially coupled with the transcoding script that Code Cruncher started and we developed with the help of lots and lots of people in the community. So that really, really is helping. In addition, he's also working on cleaning up the show notes to make them at least valid HTML. So that work is continuing on. Then on the mailing list itself, we had a post by Deep Geek about XSLT and that we should use XSLT to as a way to transform from one format to the next. And there's other discussions later on, which shows that yes, that is exactly the plan. That's what we're going to do. Then there was a posting linking to the various different types of swag, that photos of various different types of swag. So stickers, the HPR sticker, it's like the new HPR logo on a green but on a black background, very matrixy. Tattoos, classic. I learned how to be nosy on the interwebs from Hackerbug Radio. A very, very nice, a very, very nice logo, actually. Then we have Richard's The Community Podcast, Share Your Ideas, Projects, Opinions, new episode every week, bumper sticker. Then we have Pokey's HPR oval sticker. And then we have Your Ideas, Your Projects, Podcasted t-shirts, which I absolutely want to get from time. So awesome. And if you have live stickers or pictures of stickers on laptops, or if you have any of these, please send them to me. Please. Also, I would like, and I haven't made a note of it anywhere, but I have it in the back of my head, that I want a HPR-ish solution to the photos, where we can upload HPR photos. There's a lot of requests for that sort of thing. We also had a request during the week asking about how posting works, and we also had a request, I think, from you, 5150, about what's happening with the new show notes. So I'll go through again what the scheduling guidelines are, and I'll read it out if you don't mind. First of all, time critical. When a host has requested a show to be posted at a particular time, or that the show contains newsworthy information, so that's what it means, time critical. This option is seldom used, and unless the reason is obvious, the community will be consulted via the mailing list or in urgent cases on IRC. So if you're doing stuff, please don't leave it to the last second. You can reserve a slot quite easily months in advance, and then that slot is in there. Nobody has to question it. So we get on to rule number two, reserved slots. This is where a host has asked for a show to be released on a particular episode number, like episode 1000. On a particular day, in that case it was the 50th, and or on a particular day, 50th anniversary of human flight, which happened on 2011-04-11, or the 1st of April. Every year we reserve that slot for that purpose. Carrying on, ideally we always want a show completely processed when finished, with finished show notes before it is included in the schedule, but in this case you should mail admin at Hacker Public Radio with a reservation so that it can be added as early as possible. Otherwise the community will need to be consulted via the mailing list or in urgent cases via IRC. If you are attending an event representing HPR, a special 5-day slot can be reserved within 2 weeks of the event. This allows interviews recorded at the event to be released quickly. In general, we would like interviews to be released quickly, so if you are planning to conduct an interview, then please reserve a slot so that it can be released promptly after the recording has been made. So, rule number three, schedule slots. This is where a host has been assigned a regular day to release a show. Due to the commitments needed and the shortage of slots, scheduled shows need to be approved by the mailing list, and there will be discussions on the community news show, as in this show. You will most likely be asked to reserve slots for a period of time until your slot becomes permanent. So just a note here. So if you're deciding, I want to release a show once every month about X, then you will need to release that show for at least a few months so that you are able to meet that time schedule, because meeting that schedule is a very, very difficult thing to do. So the currently reserved shows are the first Monday of every month, except for this month, is the HPR Community News, and this show is open to anyone in the HPR community to come and chat about the goings-on over the last month, which is usually held on the last Saturday of every month in the HPR room on mumble.teamsopenspeak.cc port 64747, and you are welcome to join. Yes, everybody is welcome to join the show. There's usually I send an email out during the week of that show to remind people, and on the day itself, and a few minutes beforehand. So every second Tuesday is Linux in the Shell. Linux in the Shell aims to explore the use of many commands a user can run in the Bash shell. Tutorials include a write-up with examples, an audio component about the write-up, and a video component to demonstrate usage of the command. The website is linuxintheshell.org. First three Fridays of the month is Talking to Me Tech News. DeepGeek leads a community of HBR volunteers to bring you the tech news portion of his almost weekly podcast, which editorial note you should subscribe to. Then we come down to, so those are the mostly the exceptions. So high priority reserve slot and schedule slots. The reserve slot, if you're planning some sort of surprise, we can reserve the slot without putting a date or assigning anything in. But we do want to put in a number like HPR, I don't know, 2000 if you want to reserve that slot. Or you can put in a particular date, like whatever date it happens to be. Or we can put in some text, 3 weeks after LlamaCon is over or whatever. Yeah. So the first three ones should not be used for the most part. If you are using any of them, try and do number two ahead, well ahead in advance, so that there's never any discussion, because then if you have reserved the slot already before anybody else has even released a show into the queue, then you know there's no discussion about why you should be there. Okay. Then we have normal priority, and this is the change that's been implemented over the last 4 months or so, and I think it's only going to be next month we're really going to see how this is panning out. So normal priority. We now release shows based on when the late hosts last had a show aired. This brings new hosts and returning hosts to the top of the queue to encourage their efforts. It also spreads out shows submitted in batches and gives a wider variety of hosts. Once a host is determined, the first show uploaded by that host is released. If you wish your show to be released in a particular order, then you should make that obvious in the title and by emailing the admin@tacklepublicradio.org. You can swap the order of your shows, but this involves additional effort and is frowned upon. I wish also to add to the end of that, please be aware, the following text. Please be aware we cannot predict when your show will be out, but sooner or later it will be released. Sometimes a host will jump to the top of the queue while other hosts seem to be waiting a long time. This is because all the shows at HPR are scheduled according to the scheduling guidelines, which apply to everybody without exception. So I wish to add that, but that is just a clarification, so it's not a change to the way the rules are being processed. And then the final one, backup shows. We like to keep a backlog of 24 weeks of shows in the queue to use as a reserve when there is a lull in the amount of shows being submitted. Once this queue has hit 20, the oldest show will be moved to the back of the normal priority queue. Everyone is encouraged to release a show to this queue so that we have time to send out a request for new shows. This usually takes about 2 to 4 weeks after a call for shows before the new shows are submitted. Keep in mind that the flow here may be slow, so submit shows that are not time sensitive. And then underneath that, we have the syndicated shows. We will continue to promote new podcasts, yada, 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 which I've read earlier. However, I want to speak specifically about this now, seeing as we're talking about it anyway. There was a lot of discussion about this, and I must say I was very edgy about this, because under various Creative Commons works was the title in the mail list, if you want to have a look. But it basically came down to a discussion or an argument, I think the point would be, is there a backlog or is there not? Now, from my point of view, there is usually not. And from other people's point of view, if the show doesn't go out in a month, then there is. So my response to that was, because people are looking at the shows, that all shows are submitted equal, but that actually, as seen by the show notes, if we look at the list, the hackerpublicradiocalendar.php, you see there are 32 shows in the queue right now. And previous to that, we had high priority, reserve show numbers, reserved by date, normal priority shows, and then four hosts have also contributed backup shows. However, underneath that, I had a list of all the shows that are currently in the queue that have been submitted. So we have a lot of shows by Haruka, we've got some shows by Klaatu, Deep Geek Nido, basically loads of people, four shows by myself, I think 14 shows by Ahuka, and then, and for people looking at the queue, I can understand why, from my point of view, they're looking at the queue and they're going, oh, there are loads of shows, I don't need to record anything. And on the other hand, people in the queue really feel that the shows are not coming out on time. So there was a really good discussion about that. And to be honest, I changed my opinion during the course of it. So thank you, everybody, for pointing that out. I'm not 100% sure, you know, removing the list of shows is contradicting the hacker ethic, but I'm glad it was pointed out that that it was an unhacker thing to do. And I, yes, actually, I get the point. There is no point in hiding stuff. So what there is right now, and that's not to say that this is going to continue like this, is the show calendar, the list of files, I can't remember who was that suggested it, are now, instead of being listed there, you can get a complete list of the shows by just clicking a link, and then the text file of what the actual status of the queue is. And then otherwise, what I think is more important anyway, is what's the order of the hosts that are coming out. So right now, Deep Geek is coming out because he hasn't released a show since December of last year, the 28th to be precise. Then various Creative Commons works are coming up with the show because it's been a while. And then Johan V, and then Nido, and then Charles and NJ, and Ahuka, and then John Culp, then Frank Bell, Klaatu, and my Bill, David Whitman, and myself, and then Sigflub has jumped back to the end of the queue because she's just released a show on the 26th of this month. So anybody who hasn't released a show since the 26th of this month will obviously be ahead of her in the queue. So that's kind of how it works. Is this all making sense to people, or are you bored senseless?
Oh, I think at least everybody who follows the mailing list has a pretty firm grasp on this.
Yes, that A, Ken does not like talk of more queues and stuff, or more feeds being produced.
Then let's move on from the queues to another subject.
Okay, it's but anyway, it is a bit we'll see how that goes now. My personal hero, Dave Morris, has disagreed with me and thinks that there should be the amount of shows should be shown on the website. And Epicanus has also disagreed with me. How dare these people disagree with me? I am the emperor of HBO. No, folks, I'm not. I'm just another host who happens to be doing this job, right? Our plan, and loads of people are working on it, is get me out of the equation as quickly as possible. And to that note, I want to thank everybody for looking over my shoulder. And when I go off and remember, I need all shows on HBR are not safe for work unless they're marked as clean, and this one will not be. When I go off on one, I'm really glad that people are there to pull me back. So that's pretty cool. By the way, what he's done now is he's looking at the queue, and there's going to be a red bar, like a speedometer type thing. Do you use the word speedometer, 5150 in the state?
Yes, speedometer, speedometer, interchangeably.
Okay, there's going to be like a going from red to green into yellow, something like that, with a arrow pointing on where we are in the queue. So it'll be rather than to the end of the year, it'll be the next, this is what we're proposing right now. Yeah, it's still under discussion in the mailing list. So if you have an opinion, join there. Anyway, so the first bit is fixed because my experience has shown that it takes 3 to 4 weeks for the call to arms to get out to people. So it will always, the red bit will always represent 3 to 4 weeks. So once we start not having enough shows for the coming 4 weeks, and that includes scheduled slots and scheduled days and regular hosts and that sort of thing. So that's also included. So it's the actual number of shows that are going in there. So there might only be 4 shows in the queue if it's particularly busy, because there's going to be a community news, and there's going to be a Dan, and there's going to be a Talk Geek to Me news. We might be down to 2 in the list. But anyway, so that will signal there, so people coming to the website will know, what's the likelihood if I submit my show now, how long is it going to be? So if it goes to the middle, it'll be about a month. If it goes to the end of the green, it'll be about 2 months. And then if it's into the orange, you need to know that the shows you're submitting will be aired, absolutely. It's just it might take a little bit longer. So you might want to think about requesting, if you have an urgent show, you might be thinking about requesting another topic for that. What you can always do is keep submitting shows, and you can move shows within your own queue, within your own slot as much as you like, although it's frowned upon. That makes sense? Do you think that'll help?
Perfectly.
Yes.
You could always take a queue from Ogbot, and every time someone submits a show, you send them back an automated email that says that your show is important to us.
Yes. Speaking of Crayon and people who have promised me shows, he has, if you go into Ogcast Planet on irc.freenode.net, Ogbot will, if you're searching for a HPR episode, will search for you and it'll do loads of interesting stuff, and he has promised me a show about that.
And a neat little feature, if you type in .f, it'll tell you if the coming weekend is a dev random or a KPO.
Cool. What's .f all about? Why .f?
That's just what it is. You put, if you go to Ogcast Planet and type in just period F and return, it'll tell you whose week it is.
Cool. Very, very, very cool. Okay. Just one last thing on how postings work. If for any reason anybody thinks they're you know, they have a show that's not in or that it's not been scheduled correctly, please, 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 if you don't want to get in touch with me, I have no skin off my nose. It's water off a duck's back. Send it to the mailing list and ask the question. You will get an answer. I one of the core things that I want to stand up for here is that this show, this network, we're all a community of peers. Anyway, I've derailed that enough. Mr. Cordomino, our very good friend, husband of Bobo Bex, correspondent on Talk Geek to Me News team, developer of CrunchBang Linux, and all-around nice guy, has developed for us a Android application. Have anyone had a chance to play with that at all?
Oh, I guess I didn't realize it was finished.
If you go to cornominal.org/demo/HPR, you will get it. It's intended really for use on mobile phones, so it's like a podcast player. Although it's a web page, it's a podcast player. It gives you a link. There's right there a little play button, right there a little download button, and you can click random episodes, and pretty cool. You click on the person's link, and you get it. And he even has a search page. Really, 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 really awesome work. Came out of the blue. Very, very nice guy. And give your feedback to him, please, on that application. On that application, we have added some topic requests to the list, which is now. I'm as well read it out because hey, I'm reading the rest of the website out. How did you get into podcasting, Linux geekdom? What podcast do you listen to, and which ones can you recommend? What's in your bag? The tools and gear you carry around, your favorite Android, desktop, and browser applications. Looking for an This is also useful where people want to request a topic. Just email admin@hackerpublicradio.org, or if you're on Identica or Twitter, you can just use the hashtag HPR and fire in a request on either of those. So we have how to set up your own blog, and I think that is all facets of how to do that. Choosing an artistic design for your website or business cards, music theory, how to install a VPN in your home, an introduction to Init and systemd, episodes in the LPI networking series, beginning audio series for HPR, Hackintosh computers, what they are, why you would want one, Grub 2 introduction and customization, FM transmitter hack to listen to internet streams, how I got into accessible computing, how to knit, how to build a house, Bitcoin, how to solder, how to weld, how to fix a car, review of stream playing software for Linux heads who don't want to keep a browser tab open all the time, review of stream ripping software, and I just added myself, beginner's guide to GNU plot. So if you have requested topics, feel free to send them in, because there has actually been a lot of people who have said, yeah, okay, I'm going to do a show on that. So yeah, you never know. You might have to wait a while, but it will come in sooner or later. Also,
and counter to what has been said on this show, reading the phone book was not an actual serious request.
Yeah, but would be cool as an April Fool's episode. I don't know if any of you guys have noted it, but there has been reports from various different people. We've had reports that there has been issues with the FTP server. Has anyone heard anything about that or experienced anything with that?
I haven't, but I haven't uploaded anything since October or so.
As far as I can tell, it's working okay today.
Yeah, I've had a look and I couldn't find anything strange or odd in the logs. I did notice that some people had uploaded shows and they weren't appearing in the log files, which I have to admit had me a little bit worried.
Is the rest appearing in the log files, or are the log files empty?
No, there's some stuff coming in, but I'm not 100% sure that that cPanel installation is correct at all, because there's we have the archives are missing, and yeah, it's just a bit flaky, I think.
Okay, then let's continue on another subject.
Okay, there's a memoriam for Aaron Schwartz in the queue, which should be out shortly. I also sent around a mailing list asking on the mailing on both mailing lists. We have two. We have the development and we have the HPR mailing list. Doesn't seem a lot of point to me to maintain the dev mailing list because I think a lot of people are technical enough. It's completely there's a lot of people on the regular mailing list that are also in the dev mailing list. So, and I think we should approach the mailing list that if it's not of interest to you, just delete that mail. So I just want to make two, from two, just make one, and then that will facilitate exporting it to an archive system. So we only need to do that once.
And probably it's easier on you to avoid duplication of effort when something that's relevant to both lists, you have to post it twice.
Yeah, and it's then quite often something technical turns into something ethical. So, then the ethical things needs to be discussed on a HPR mailing list, and you end up with two different places. And we're a technical podcast anyway, so yeah. As with everything with HPR, if you don't want to listen to a show, press delete and move on. And the same should apply to the mailing list. And note to self, if somebody can remind me, actually I'll remind myself when I listen to this in a few days, is to put a comment somewhere that you should do that.
Notes to self are usually to yourself, yeah.
Yes, but at least with this, I can hear myself making the notes, and then my hand's free to make a note. Okay, very, very meta, I understand. Anyway, we have yes, the upload form is alive. Epicanus lives, and the atom feed and all that good stuff. He has produced a XML file, and he has also produced some PHP scripts to do the upload. Now, there are PHP people out there, people with experience in PHP, or people with experience in PHP. I really need everybody to code review this stuff as much as possible. Not because I don't think Epicanus is doing a great job. There was nothing in there that I could see that jumped out at me. But if we have a pool of talented developers that I don't want, the site to be going down or some sort of stupid DDoS because we overlooked something that was, silly. So I'd appreciate everybody's help, please, because right now most of the stuff is the only thing that we have is the FTP site and the comment system that allows stuff in, and this will allow lots of stuff in on the main front page. So please give us a hand to debug this stuff. Oh, and by the way, another note, I have dyslexia, or in any event, I have a issue with reading and writing of text, and that's in work. Typically, what I do is I'll play it back so that I can hear it. It's more obvious. I don't spot things. This has probably become very obvious to people who know me or been involved with HPR. But how that can manifest itself sometimes is that there are obvious glaring mistakes on the show notes for some episodes. Don't assume that I will see them because I'm physically cannot see them sometimes. So I will see repeated text. Sometimes I just can't see that. So please don't be embarrassed about it. I just don't want unproofread stuff on the website. It's not possible to get it proofread all the time because hey, I need to do it, and sometimes I need to do it on the train in a hurry. So don't be embarrassed at all about saying Ken, there's a misspelling on this page, or you typed this incorrectly. Yeah, just make it clear. And I think we already, I don't know if we spoke about it earlier, but about multiple host uploads, I wanted to talk to you at length about this for a while. Back in when HPR started, when most people do solo episodes, and then you have roundtables like this, which goes under the heading of HPR admins. And when people got together to do a cooperative show, like Stank and Enigma did, well, the very first episode was Stank and Enigma. I don't know who got credit for that, but it might be a show host called Stank and Enigma, so one show host with the string Stank and Enigma, as opposed to having a show host called Stank and then another one called Enigma. And that has kind of been the tradition to handle that give credit to multiple people for the same show type thing, where they've done several shows together. And NY Bill and Jezra have done a few of these, and NY Bill has done several different people. So where the show is like a chat more than anything else. The issue though with this is since we introduced 2 years ago the new show host, so automatically if you become a new host, you get bumped to the top of the queue once, so that, and the idea behind that is obviously to encourage podcasters. So, it's your first time podcasting, you get a nice buzz, you put in a show and bit of boom, in a few days it's out and hey mom, look what I can do type of thing. So this has been something that we knew we were going to have to tackle, and I guess Colonel Ponick suffers from the same thing as well as does Dev Random. But in Atom, the feed format that we're going to be supporting as our working format for uploading the episodes, and also we intend to have Atom feeds in general for syndication. They do it quite well because there's the person who submits the show, and then there's the contributors. So there's two separate fields there. Now, what I intend to do is that the order of the show, the uploader will be not as important anymore. They will still get, for the first show, get bumped to the top of the queue. But if it's just a regular show that they're coming from, it gets submitted under their own name. And as I say that, I just realized that that's not going to work. So this whole thing needs to be kind of fleshed out with the view to how our current system works. And I'm also trying to flesh out in a relational database, and Nido, you probably be able to help me with this. Currently, every show is a flat table, and there's an ID, host ID equals and a number. So what's the best way to put in a contributor? Do you put in a contributor field with a comma-separated list of IDs of the other hosts? What do you think?
Well, basically, you've got a one-to-many relation between the episodes and the what's the name? The contributors. So you can do that in SQL. You can make a relation that way. So wait, you have multiple episodes, so that's not going to work.
Okay,
I'm not really sure.
let's
I
I'll
need
send
to
them
think about it.
I'll send a mail about this to the mailing list, because this is the place to talk about it. But just so everybody knows, we know it's an issue. We're going to think about it technically, and then out of that, there will come some ethical, moral decisions to make about what's fair, and then we'll put it to the mailing list. Yeah, seems fair.
Sounds like a plan.
Good idea.
Okay, then we had I mentioned about doing a promised shows list, and yes, I want to just add to the requested topic lists about Windows managers and that whole stack. How you go from StartX, you've installed base Debian, now what? The whole way of building a minimum window manager to get you surfing with Firefox. And yes, as well as keeping me in check, I would also like people to start thinking about how we as a community are going to rotate the role of HPR lead or whatever it is that I'm doing, so that we're open and transparent, and that we change leads from time to time. Not that I'm going away or anything, but that somebody could step forward and do the stuff that kind of manage out in the mailing list and do the HPR sort of lead role. I think what do Debian call that?
Not sure.
Debian Project Lead, DPL, yes, Debian Project Lead. Well, whatever that thing is that I am, people should have a think about that and see if that's something you're interested in doing, and that sort of thing. Yep. Okay, moving on. Last but not least things before we get to the events is the to-do list, which, hey, didn't particularly want to put it in, but now that it's here, let's have a little look. What's the new stuff that's coming? New stuff. We're working on putting in a show flow rate with average wait times so that people have an idea of the health of HPR so that you can, the green bar, so you get a good feel. And yes, for our blind listeners, there will be a text underneath alt text, which will explain exactly the equivalent in HPR in text terms. As I mentioned earlier, we're working, when I say we, I mean somebody else, for all of this stuff, in actual fact. When I say somebody else is working on this, the Android app, and then crediting multiple hosts. I've already got Nido working on that there in the background. So I'm a tutor when it comes to that sort of thing. Continuing on is securing the website. That's a never-ending task. And as I mentioned, we're doing the upload form, we being Epicanus and et al. And fixing the broken links is being done by Dave Morris. Fixing broken HTML, and then we need to do fixing the links, which is something that I probably do. And then converting to HTML5 and CSS, something which Core Nominal volunteered about to do, but I'm not sure if he wants to continue doing it since I said you can't use JavaScript, which I don't know is a hard and fast rule. How do you guys feel about JavaScript on the website?
I'd like to make as little NoScript adjustments as possible.
So not have it at all.
Well, you can do stuff with it, but I at least want to be able to read the website and get the information. I don't need some spinning beach ball or whatever in my screen, but I just want to be able to read whatever is on. From my point of view, ideally, you would make the page in HTML and CSS so it's workable, and then add some JavaScript to make it do neat stuff.
Yep, that's kind of where I am, because we do need to support we do need support our blind and blind sorry no. Yes, blind listeners, so they need to be able to navigate the website. Dave Morris is also working on the LinuxLink.net Perl script, which is it's called LinuxLink.net because Dan Washko, the link who is the LinuxLink tech show guy, who is Linux in the shell guy, and who should be Linux in the house guy, is we want that as a tool for podcasters to go somewhere and see how their podcasting feed is doing. So if it's up, if it's valid, if the server's reporting errors, if it requires a stupid browser tag that it won't accept wget, that sort of stuff that we have been hitting against as we developed that script. Some background for people who are listening: it's a script that we use to produce a list of podcasts, active Linux podcasts, to hand out at OddCamp so that people will come over to the booth. And we kind of want to just do that as a service for the community, sort of like, is my site down? What's that site called? Is my site down for everyone or just me.com? But anyway, something like that. Stuff that has been done this month has been DB database support has been added for the summary and the tags. We have moved the FTP server internally, and there's new links to the README file and the sample show notes file in both the website and on the FTP server. So they have changed. 5150, you were asking me about that. Are you happy with the show notes and the README as it stands now?
Yes, I should have checked the README before I said, "Hey, where's the details on the stuff you talked about last month on how you would like to organize the shows and kind of put flags in the top part of the show notes." One suggestion that I might make is when you turn the script that we're looking at now into the show notes for this episode, that you make that where it says the README and etc., make that a hyperlink so that people don't have to look on another page for it. If they're listening to this and they want to see it.
Okay, yes, good point. We'll do that. Or I will hear myself saying this on the train, and then the show has already been out 2 days, and then I have to go back and edit the show notes. So sorry about that, folks, if it wasn't it. Yes. Search options have been added as much as we can right now. We'll probably revisit that topic. And introduction of show tags have been added, and the automatic tagging of media files have been added. Just on a README and the sample show notes thing, the sample show notes shouldn't change that often. The README, well, it probably will. The README file changes quite a lot, so if you haven't submitted a show in a while, you definitely want to read the README. If you're submitting a show haven't submitted a show in the last month, you still want to check the README. As work continues on the Atom feed and the upload form, we're probably going to want to modify the sample show notes and the README file as well, just to make adjustments for that. I don't know, maybe if we start increasing the text size or shortening it or something. So please continue to reread those. If something significant changes, I usually send a mail out to the mailing list, so be aware of that. Stuff we still have to do is automate the presentations, so that's kind of a low priority. Introduction to the HPR video, all the components have been done, I haven't done any more on it. Add an Atom feed, kind of work has been done on that. When the upload form is in place, the format of the Atom feed should become apparent, and then it should be easy enough to produce Atom feed from that. The intention will be to start off with one Atom feed containing the AUG MP3 and speaks, with the hope that if a podcatcher is developed enough, if it's advanced enough to support Atom, that it should be advanced enough to know what feed to download. But we shall see. We may need to split that off. It shouldn't be a big thing anyway. Open support, I need to get permission to multiply out the disk space, plus I need somebody to tell me what the best encoding specs are for that. So let's not distract Epicanus from his upload page. We still need to do an events page. The Twitter and Identica feed need to be sorted out. We still need somebody to volunteer for the archive.org. So if you have got experience with Amazon cloud services, they have an API or a tool at least that behaves similarly for uploading to archive.org. We'd appreciate people's help with that. The automating of media upload identification and transcoding is something that I've been thinking about. We've got a new VPS in the States, and we've got a VPS here in the UK. So we might start doing some more about that. Then finally, if you've made it this far, the Linux Fest Northwest is on the 27th and 28th, which is today and tomorrow. So you're obviously going to miss that. Then Sigflup sent in a request to know if anyone is going to Nauticon on April the 18th and the 21st in the Hilton Garden Inn in downtown Cleveland. Please get in touch. Then we have the Ogcast Planet Live event on the 27th of May, Memorial Day weekend in Philadelphia. More information available on ocplive.com. Please make sure your employer is aware that this is a high-profile event that all up-and-coming businesses should be attending and supporting. I was really impressed by the list of sponsors.
Yeah, that I was impressed as well. It's just going to be a few of us from Ogcast Planet getting together. We've arranged for two or three apartments that we're going to share for the weekend, and if anybody hearing this is interested in coming, it's just let me know at my email. It's 5150@linuxbasement.com, and I'll put you in touch with the right folks. So there's still time, and we came up with this idea about 6 months ago. Wouldn't it be great if we could just get together? Because when people go to conferences, they all want to do the hallway track. They want to talk to everybody they've been in IRC with all the time. And, you know, so many times, well, Pokey, I think, when he went to Northeast Linux Fest. He said, "Well, I saw maybe one of the talks. I was getting interviews. I was talking to these folks I only get to see once or twice a year, and I'll listen to the recorded talks when they're posted online." So this is going to be an entire 4 days without that pressure of there's conferences that you're supposed to get to in some place that you need to be. So we're going to do some sightseeing around Philadelphia, and it's just going to be, and just generally hang out. And I'm going to, I'll let Ken know so we can maybe post it somewhere. And I'm sure I'm going to take my laptop with me. And if I have anything to say about it, we'll try to do some, live broadcasting from there, probably video, probably just like a G+ hangout. But gets closer to it, I'll talk to other folks about it. And if we want to set up something formally, I'm sure then I can arrange for there to be a link on the site. Otherwise, kind of watch this space, and surely I'll throw something up during that week. That didn't come out right. Put something on the internet during that weekend, because I'm going to be, these apartments do have broadband, and I'm just going to be enjoying actually having a real internet connection for the weekend.
Very nice. Now, here is a typical case where you know something's going to be happening. So put in your reservation for your shows ASAP. That way we can make the reservations right now, and then it's obvious to everybody when that block of shows are going to be coming up on the queue. That's thing number one. Thing number two, can we all try and avoid, this is me personally, using Google's products? They're not open, they're closed, and there is no open API to them, and there is no way to get stuff out. They're inaccessible to members of the blind community, and until that changes, I realize there are lots of good people in Google. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that can we restrict the use of what is essentially proprietary web services that don't have open components to them?
I agree. I consider myself sufficiently chastised for that. So
yes,
if there's an alternative, I'll.
We will have.
Is there an open source video alternative like Mumble with Video or the equivalent?
Doesn't the Giga do that?
I'm sorry, Nito, can you
Akiga? I thought it also did video.
I don't know. 5150, again, this is not, this is my view. What I would suggest you do is do whatever is handiest, because you'll be busy on the day. But keep that in mind, yeah, when you're doing it. So at least we can get feeds out of it. We have a nice cast server. We've got a VPS. So if there's any software that you need installed to facilitate this for you, give us a shout, and we'll do our best to get some sort of at least open feed out of it, yeah.
Okay, the whole nature of this thing is meant to be rather unplanned, but I'll hit the other guys who are coming and see if they want to arrange anything ahead of time.
Remember as well that the people coming to Klaatu should have access to these servers and has already done an Icecast series. A few of them are in the... have been posted, and a few are in the queue. So I set it up and record what he's doing as he's doing it. Half the fun is getting the thing working in the first place. Also, I wonder why I wasn't invited to this thing if you knew about it 6 months ago.
Well, we bounced the idea around 6 months ago. It's only been since about the first of the year it's been a reality. And you're an outcast. It all happened over in Oddcast Planet, so I don't know how you managed to miss it.
How I miss it is I'm in a different time zone, and I cannot get logging to work on IRSSI. So if I'm there, I see it. If I'm not, I don't. And usually, it's kind of really weird. Anytime I'm in Oddcast Planet, I just miss the Australian guys. When I log in the morning, the Australian guys, Peter64 and Crayona, and I kind of see for a little while. And then they go off, and then it's complete silence for 6 hours. And then just in the evening as I'm going home, you guys start chatting in the afternoon. And then when I'm on the train, when I can talk, you all guys, everybody seems to go to lunch. Yeah, so it's completely bad timing, just the time zone I'm in.
And as I've said before, you're still more than welcome to come.
Yeah, if I'd known that 6 months ago, there might be some chance of getting a flight, but I would have had a lot of problems trying to explain dropping 3 grand on a flight for a weekend. 300, spending 300 quid to get to the UK is something my wife tolerates for a happy husband for the year, but for odd camp, like, but for that would be tough. Although if it becomes a regular thing, I could maybe keep an eye out for some sort of deals for that weekend. Not this year, obviously, but yeah.
Well, you still have time to work your way over on a tramp steamer.
Yeah, and do and earn money and put food on the table for the family. Anyway, that is it for events. There are 32 shows in the queue, but don't think that that's happy days because quite a lot of them are reserved for over the summer. Just in the discussion, what tends to happen is it's yes, feast and famine, but during the summer we tend not to get any shows at all, and it is Hookah's plan to go gardening during the summer and not do anything for HBR, but this will allow us to put at least a show or two of his a month out. We have what I think is a more important number is the number of hosts that we have in the queue, which to me kind of signals how healthy we are as a bunch of contributors, because we have lots of people who listen, and if in the morning everybody who listens decided to record the show and send it in, then we definitely would need to be opening up more queues, because the ratio, we're only about like even 1% of the people who listen to us actually have ever submitted a show. Not talking about one show, but these are regular people who download every day. And we only have about 1% of where we're looking at that. So that I think is that. Has anyone got anything else they want to add?
No, I think about time to call it a KPO because we've gone over 2 hours.
No, it can't be a KPO because I use bad language, so it has to be a dev random. Then it can't be a dev random because there were show notes and they were in UTF-8, so that's not possible.
Now the show notes are there on the forum. In fact, I didn't know about it till Crayon pointed them out. But he's actually been doing some rather meticulous show notes, even on the topics we didn't cover.
Yeah, but we don't even, like, nobody has a clue where the dev random website is. There's about 15 different websites pointing to different locations.
They've been consolidated. All roads lead to devrandomshow.org.
Sure they do. Anyway, I've stopped listening to that show. It's official. Right. Then all that is left for me to say is tune in tomorrow for another exciting episode of
Hacker
Public
Radio! Join us now and share the
Share the software.
software.
You'll be
free.
Free and
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by a HBR listener like yourself. If you ever considered recording a podcast, then visit our website to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club. HBR is funded by the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. All BinRev projects are proudly sponsored by Lunar Pages. From shared hosting to custom private clouds, go to lunarpages.com for all your hosting needs. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.